This morning, we're continuing in our series on words of life. Of course, we've switched into our second series on truth. And truth is a complicated topic. I can put it in quotes. Truth. What is truth? And we just read that, right? I had Matt read that in John 18, 37 through 38. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world." And it's interesting, of all the things he could say here, right? To save the lost, to die for people's sins, to show people God, right? For this purpose, what? To bear witness to the truth. Now, all those things are part of the truth, right? All of the things that he did are part of the truth. But to bear witness of the truth, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, of course, the famous line, "What is truth?" Pilate is unwilling to commit. And many people today, of course, have this attitude, right? The attitude of Pilate. What is truth? Note, I want to really emphasize, as I usually do, this is not a new thing. Okay, moral relativism, the rejection of absolute truth, not a new idea. This is not something that we've come up with, that nobody ever came up with before. Most of the things that we struggle with are things that people have struggled with for thousands of years. Even the new things, like the internet, is just variations of the old stuff, just in new forms. Now, some people, of course, reject the notion of absolute truth, while others, we silo off truth into various arenas. We have moral truth and scientific truth and personal truth and you know, all these different things. But the idea of objective, sometimes we use the word absolute truth. Another way to think about it would be objective truth. The idea that truth is objective as opposed to subjective, that it means truth exists independent of our idea about it. A lot of people reject that idea. That the idea rather is that truth is subjective, determined by the self. But the basic idea of this and talking about truth really comes down to one of two ideas. Either there is a God or there is not. And if there is a God, there is absolute truth. Now, whatever that truth may be, you can't determine just by the existence of some sort of deity. There has to be more revelation, right? Revealing from that deity. But if there is a God, truth will stem from that entity. And so in a sense, all truth is religious truth. Let me say that again. All truth is religious truth. Scientific truth, moral truth, practical truth, personal truth, any variation of truth that you can come up with is religious truth because truth comes from God. Now, this is separate than Yahweh, right? If we're just thinking about this in the most abstract level we can, not even thinking about Yahweh personally, our God, the God of the Bible, but just any sort of God, truth would come from that entity, the one who creates all things. Whatever entity that people want to talk about. If there is a God, truth comes from that God. Now, of course, Yahweh specifically does say this about himself over and over. He says that he is truth, that he is the purveyor of truth. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, of course, this promise we've read several times over the past few weeks. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but of whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Of course, from Yahweh, the Father, to the Son, to the Spirit, to us. That's truth, right? Psalm 119:160. I would encourage you this week to read the 119th Psalm, which is very long, obviously, since there's 160 verses at least. I don't usually get to do triple digits in the verse column. Psalm 119:60, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips. We can think about the opposite of this. If the sum of his word is truth, lying lips are an abomination. When was the last time you used the word abomination? Outside of the church building, of course. And we might use it in very extreme circumstances of things that are just totally despicable, right? We could think about any number of things maybe in our lives that we would call an abomination, but I'm not sure that we would ever really use the word abomination to describe lying. Yet that is how God feels about lying. But those who act faithfully are his delight. Hebrews 6:18. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us, the hope set before us by Christ. And Christ says, my purpose is this, to bear witness to the truth. That truth is the truth of hope, that there is hope for us that we hold fast to because we know it is impossible for God to lie. Why is that? Why is it impossible for God to lie? John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I find it to be very interesting. In the very beginning, God created the heavens and earth. How? By speaking. He spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. So when, of course, there's a little bit of a play on words here, right? Jesus as the Word, he's talking about Jesus here, becomes flesh. And Jesus, of course, says, my purpose is to bear witness to the truth. But ultimately, God's truthfulness originates from his power. Because if you can literally speak reality into existence, how could you lie? Anything you say becomes reality. Anything that you say comes into existence. So how would you lie? How would it even be possible for you to lie if your words themselves shape our very existence? Anything that you say would come to pass and therefore not be a lie because of your very power. Of course, we know more than that too. Titus 1:1-3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, because God speaks reality into existence, anything that he says is true, which means that truth must accord with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of our God, of God our Savior. Not only, of course, do we understand that God does not lie because he literally cannot, but we understand that he does not lie because he has demonstrated his truthfulness. He has followed through and said, or done the things that he said he will do. And the things that he has promised have come to pass. He has manifested his truthfulness in the ways that he has dealt with creation throughout history, the way that he has dealt with people in all times and places. And so the nature of God's truth, which is fundamentally all truth, gives it power to radically transform our lives. If a God exists who can speak reality into existence and his words shape the very nature of our reality, then the only way for our lives to fit with reality is to conform to his words. And when we resist his words, we will be living in a way contrary to our very existence. Living in a way that is contrary to our purpose and our causes and the things that make us feel satisfied and fulfilled, because reality comes from him. Ephesians 4:17-24. Now I say this. This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To what? This truth is not a theoretical truth. This truth is not just some abstract head knowledge, but what? To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through, what's the opposite of truth? Deceit. Lying. Your old self, which is corrupt through deceitful desires. That is, the thing that we wanted before we submitted to Christ, it sounded good. It sounded like it would be great. It sounded like it would be something that would make me happy and satisfied and fulfilled, but my desires were lying to me because of their corruption that is in me. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. John 8:31-36. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, as opposed to the fake disciples. Who would be the fake disciples? Those who claim to be disciples but who do not abide in his word. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. That is, they haven't been in literally an enslavement. How then is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. What? The deceitful desires of the former self enslave us to a life that is contrary to the creator of reality. So of course we feel meaningless, and of course we feel like we're aimless, and of course our actions lead to pain, and of course our relationships are broken, and of course we can't figure out what to do, because we are living in a way that is contrary to the very way we were created. We are slaves to the things that we think will help us, that will only destroy us. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. That is, sin will eventually be dealt with. So if the son sets you free, what does Jesus say his purpose was? To bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth will listen to my voice. The son sets you free. You will be free indeed. Free from what? Free from the corruption of deceitful desires, free from all of these ways that we think will help us, the things that we do that we think will make us happy, that ultimately never will. The ways that we live that will leave us empty and broken. That is what the truth will free us from. Ignorance and doubt and destruction. How does it set us free? Because by knowing the truth, the truth that comes from the creator of reality, by knowing how the creator has organized his creation, I can know how I am meant to live. How I can live in a way that will lead to good relationships and good practices and habits and good life choices and things that will ultimately bring me fulfillment. But of course, ultimately we know that God's truth does us no good. You can know all the things in the Bible, know all the things that Jesus said. Without our acceptance and our action, that truth does us no good. This is an important idea about truth. Maybe the most important idea about truth. But truth must be followed by action. God's truth is not something you know. It is something you do. It is a way that you live. In 3 John, I don't know why I have chapter 1 there. It's just one chapter. 3 John 1-4. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, implying what? There's a way to love that's not in truth. Beloved, I pray that all will go well with you and that you will be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth. And you think to yourself, your truth. Well, maybe that's his truth and there's a different truth for somebody else. But of course, John goes on to say what? As indeed you are walking in the truth. There is one truth. That is because there is one creator. And he created reality the way that he did. He could have made it a different way. He didn't. He created it the way that he did. And the things that he says shape the very nature of reality. So of course there's only one truth, because there's only one creator. And so when he says, I rejoice that they are testifying to your truth, he's saying, your truth, Gaius, aligns with the truth. You have shaped your truth to match what is really true. And so John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. What does that mean? Walking according to the word of God. That's it. Right? Does it bring you joy when people align themselves with the truth of God? It should. The word the does a lot of work when God talks about truth. The definite article, implying again a singular set of truth. Now, we talked about in class, there's a lot of things that God has not ordained. Areas of life that God has left up for us to decide. And in those areas of life, have at it. But when God has said a thing in a very definite way, then we know that that is the truth. That is the way that we are intended to be. And so when it says to walk in the truth, what does that mean, to walk in the truth? I would suggest that it's the same that what Jesus says, those who abide in my truth. To shape, as God shapes reality with his words, we shape our lives around the reality that he has created. The things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we think about, the things we care about, what we prioritize, how we treat people, what we do or don't do, we shape our lives around the truth. And it will bring us joy and satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment. It will bring us better relationships. It will bring us, ultimately, hope. Hope that the world needs. We'll end with the verse that we started with. John 18:33-40. I really wish we had more of Pilate's story. We don't have much about Pilate. But in this story, we see Pilate as a stand-in for the way that so many people are, the way that we might be. John 18:33, Pilate entered, of course, this is Jesus' trial, right? Pilate entered his headquarters and again called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He is concerned with, in some sense, concerned with truth. And as his job, as any magistrate would be or governor would be, to get at the truth in a trial. What actually happened? What, you got different people saying different things happened. You've got the accusers and the defense, and you know how trials go. And the job of Pilate was to get to the truth. What actually happened here? Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" What do you think, Pilate, answering a question with a question? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? I don't know. I don't have any idea. I'm not a Jew. We're dealing with stuff of yours. Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." He is a king. He is saying he is a king. Not of this world, though. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." So Pilate said to him again, "So are you a king? Just tell me, Jesus, are you a king or not? Why are these people wanting me to kill you?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." What's the truth? I am a king, right? Isn't that the truth that he's driving at here? In a roundabout way, of course he knows he has to die, but in a roundabout way he is driving at, I am a king. But everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate, here's Pilate's problem. Pilate acting the way we all act. Pilate said to him, "What is truth? What does that mean?" And after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you this the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Barabbas was a robber. Pilate probably was not at the point of believing that Jesus was king. I think he calls him the king of the Jews here, sort of tongue-in-cheek at the end. But Pilate did know a truth. He knew a truth that Jesus was not guilty. He knew that. As a magistrate, as a governor, he had come to that conclusion. He has examined, he's heard the accusations, he's examined the defense, he's examined the case, and he has arrived at a true conclusion. That is, true is that which accords with reality. Jesus is not guilty. And yet, he does not act on that truth. Now, I must admit, I am a little thankful that he doesn't in this particular case, because it leads to the death of Jesus, which is great for me personally. He knew it was true and allowed others to overrule what he knew was true. Allowed the Jews to dictate his reality. Even though he knew that Jesus did not deserve to die. Yet he allowed other people to determine for him what he should do with that truth. And it was a cop-out on his part, right? It was a cop-out. He didn't want to take responsibility for the truth. He didn't want to do what the truth demanded. He just wanted to keep the peace and put something else in place of the truth as the highest priority. This is what we do. We know the truth. I know there's a God. Most people know there's a God, even if they won't admit it to themselves. We know that there's something more than just this earth. We know it. And in a more specific sense, we know what God's word says. Some of us in this room know what is true, what that means for my life and how I should live and how I should treat people and what I should stop doing. But I abdicate my responsibility to the truth and I let other people make those decisions for me. My coworkers, my children, my parents, my friends. Because I put something else above truth. Relationships, peace, comfort, ease of life, whatever it could be. At the end of the day, what does Jesus say? Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. He says it in a previous verse. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Truth does us no good if we do not shape our lives around it.